Ramsey TV.
I'm trying to talk about how to spoil the kiddies and the wife, but Notes keeps asking good questions about what is a believer. And since this is such an important topic, and because the questions posed by Notes are so good, and he has concerns as well, then I think these things need to be dealt with. And so that's what I'm going to do here at MZTV. I am Martin Zender, your host, into another scriptural extravaganza, or extravaganza, if you prefer. Debbie Harry is back here helping me out. She kind of pushed Judy Garland out, so I thought I'd give her a try. It's all, you know, it's all probationary. Let's see how she handles the pressure. So on my video yesterday, you remember I talked about concerns that a person named Notes brought to the table. I don't even know who this is, okay? I don't. It doesn't matter, because I'm no respecter of persons, and that's going to come out. It'll come out, that is, if there's enough time in this show. I might have to divide this show into two parts, but I don't know about you, but this is fascinating. This is crucial. It's important, or I wouldn't be spending so much time on it. From Notes today: I appreciate you addressing these difficult questions. I'm just trying to be honest from all these different angles. I know that, and I appreciate it. As I've said before, I agree with much of what you stand for. But practically speaking, I have to make a decision on how to view and interact with these many Christians I know. After hearing much of what you have to say on this matter, I may just have to be honest with these people, or not tell them anything. Believe it or not, I'm a guy who avoids conflict. Anyway, I will simply ask them if they believe the three things that you mentioned from 1 Corinthians 15. I wouldn't go that way, my friend. Notes, I would not do that. This is why. It's not that simple. You see, if you ask them if they believe the things from 1 Corinthians 15, I guarantee you they will say yes. Ask any Christian, do you believe in the death of Christ? They'll say yes. Ask them if you believe in the death of Christ for sins. They will say yes. What you need to ask them is if they believe in the Trinity. That's what you need to ask them. Notes, get right to the punch, because that's what will tell you whether or not they believe in the death of Christ. And of course they believe in the Trinity. All Christians believe in the Trinity. So they will say yes, and then you will know. There's no need to ask them if they believe in the death of Christ after that. And again, ask them if they believe in human free will. An answer in the affirmative to that question will prove to you, a la Philippians 1:28, that they are unbelievers in Paul's gospel. Notes goes on, if they do not get 3 out of 3 correct, then I will have to gently yet firmly tell them that they are unbelievers. Or don't tell them anything, unless they ask you. I try to avoid all theological conversations with Christians, unless the topic comes up. I'm the quietest guy at a party until I've made an assessment of what's going on, especially if I know there are religious people there, people who are like diehard, whatever. I don't want to get involved, but I will. Oh, if they tap me, I will get involved. You know me. I don't see any other way around this. I'll keep searching. Thanks for your help. Well, you don't have to keep searching, because you found the answer. You have found the answer here. Notes. Don't keep searching unless you don't have the answer, but you do have the answer. I'm giving you the answer. This is my response on the page. You are welcome, Notes. Thank you again for the excellent questions that fueled this show, yesterday's show. Also, I know that others are thinking the same things and will be edified. Remember, Paul said to not be yoked with unbelievers. This is another topic that has been coming up, folks, and I want to address this briefly. To finish the comment of Notes, this is my comment. This has nothing to do with casual contact, for as Paul says, if we are to avoid unbelievers altogether, we would have to come out of the world. Thanks for the gracious response, Notes. So I'm getting this question, and the question is, what does Paul mean by yoked? It's been traditionally believed that by yoked, Paul is talking strictly about marriage, but I don't think so. In fact, I mean, it's not strictly about marriage, but for sure it is. Do not marry an unbeliever. Do not. I know it's tempting. Some of them are pretty cute. Don't do it. Don't do it. The yoke speaks of oxen, yoked together for work. You can be vexed at work by unbelievers. I mean, on the other hand, you know, there are some believers, I mean, genuine believers who maybe not are the most fun people to work with, and there are unbelievers who are a lot of fun to work with. And yet, Paul doesn't recommend it, so I can't recommend it either. Okay, here is the next question, because notes isn't finished. I think there's three different notes made by notes. Here he is. As far as I know, Andrew Jukes believed in the Trinity. Andrew Jukes, again, was a very spiritual man who wrote mature books on the types in Genesis, the sacrifices of the temple service, and a great book called The Restitution of All Things that God used to bring me to the truth of the salvation of all. Andrew Jukes wrote very archaically, wrote in the later 1800s. You got to really want Jukes to get him. You got to stay tough because his language is quite stiff, quite formal. But how bad do you want it? Anyway, as far as I know, Andrew Jukes believed in the Trinity. Does that mean Jukes was an unbeliever? Well, of course it does. I mean, you see, it's tempting to take it on a person-by-person basis. For instance, oh, this is Andrew Jukes. Certainly you're not saying he's an unbeliever. I don't look at the person. I look at what they believe. I'm blind to the person. I don't care who they are. Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, Andrew Jukes, personal friends of mine. It doesn't matter. It comes down to what do they believe. So this question is like obvious answer. Does that mean Jukes was an unbeliever? Yes. Belief in the Trinity denies the death of Christ. The death of Christ is a foundational cornerstone of Paul's gospel. Therefore, Jukes was not a believer in Paul's gospel. But watch what I say next. Watch this. Oh, but first, I want to get the second part of Note's question here. Also, Peter believed 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. This is a very interesting question. So does that mean that he's in the body of Christ? What about the Romans who needed more concerning the evangel brought to them regarding the righteousness of God? Were the Romans partial believers or something? My response, again, these are great and thoughtful questions. Notes, if Andrew Jukes believed in the Trinity, then he was not in the body of Christ. Now, this is my belief concerning Andrew Jukes, based on what I know of the scriptures, which is, I know a lot, and the criteria for each evangel, that of the circumcision and that of the uncircumcision. Jukes was probably, I write, a proselyte of Israel. He wrote much on Israelite themes, and so he will almost certainly be resurrected as part of the circumcision, that is, the bride of the lambkin, on earth. On earth. Remember, those who rise from the dead to take part in the thousand-year kingdom on earth, the majority are Israelites, but there are also proselytes of Israel who are not fleshly Israelites, can't trace their genealogy to Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, and yet they attach themselves. Perfect example is the Ethiopian eunuch and, of course, Cornelius of Acts chapter 12 fame. Now, as far as Peter goes, Peter can't be part of the bride, Israel, and the body, the nations, i.e. the body of Christ, at the same time. He can give a mental assent to the truths of Paul. In other words, he can say, yes, what Paul is saying is true. But that doesn't make him a believer in Paul's gospel. He believes Paul's gospel. You see the subtle difference? But he's not a believer in Paul's gospel. He has his own gospel. He's going to be sitting on one of 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I can agree with some of the rules and statutes of the army, for instance, or any armed service branch. That doesn't mean I'm a member of them. I can agree with the rules of a football game, but it doesn't mean I'm part of the team. It doesn't mean I'm a referee. I can say, yes, that's right. Yes, 15 yards for holding. Absolutely. You got to assess 15 yards for holding. No doubt about it. Somebody roughed up the kicker? Oh, please. That's a penalty. Yes, I assent to these things. That doesn't make me a member of the officiating crew. I also agree that Jesus Christ is the Messiah of Israel. Does that make me part of the bride? No. It just doesn't, because my heart and my spirit and my soul are attached to Paul's gospel, even while giving mental assent to the other one. Paul also believed that Jesus was the Messiah of Israel. Does that mean that he's not in the body of Christ, but part of the bride? No. It's mere mental assent. And as far as the Romans go, remember what you said about the Romans? Like, what about the Romans? They needed more concerning the evangel. They weren't perfected yet. They had to have things added to them. My response to that is, as far as the Romans go, and us for that matter, we can all stand to have the details of the evangel filled in. But we're talking about details there. People are always talking about ducks with me. Always bringing up the ducks. Martin Zender says you got to have all of your ducks in a row. Martin Zender never said that. I never said that. You have to have three ducks in a row. The death of Christ for sin, and his resurrection. Somebody says, well, I've heard this, and this is really a legitimate question. Well, Martin, what if I believe that Jesus Christ was buried and not entombed? Does it matter? That's not essential. Paul is just saying how his corpse was disposed of, because it emphasizes the reality of death. It's the death. So we're not talking about all your ducks lined up. We're not talking about the perfection of understanding. I'm accused of that. Martin says everybody has to have a perfect understanding of everything concerning death, everything concerning the person of Christ. No, I'm not saying that. Just the essentials, the basics, the foundationals. ABC. You know, you can write the great American novel later with all the letters of the alphabet. But for now, let's get ABC down. That's it. Now, here is a doozy. Notes is not giving up. He's back in the same video asking another question. This one is detailed. This one is rich. This one is going to be so helpful to you, because there's so many things in this question that could be sources of confusion for you. I'm going to clear it all up, because I am a cut and dried guy, and that's what the scripture is most places. Yes, Paul says it again. I'm always quoting this, 2 Corinthians 6. What fellowship does light have with darkness? See, black and white, light with darkness, Christ with Belial. Belial, the disintegrator, another name for Satan. Yeah, what does Christ have in common with Satan? We're looking at complete opposites. In the same context, what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Black and white. We're afraid of black and white today because we're so politically correct. We try to please everybody. And if we say that Christ is right, then, well, that might make Satan feel bad. Then we have to say Satan is wrong and we don't want to hurt Satan's feelings. Let's give him a participation trophy. At least put a star on the top of his paper. Give him a also-ran medal. Poor Satan. Oh, we can't say he's wrong. That's terrible. Yes, we can. There's right and wrong. This gray area, this your truth and your truth and your truth kind of thing, it sickens me. I want to gag because, well, in fact, God says he does gag. And the book of Revelation, right? He said to one of the ecclesias, be hot or cold, but since you're neither, I'll spit you out of my mouth. The worst thing anybody can say to me after reading one of my books or listening to one of my talks is, Martin, what exactly were you trying to say? Oh, I hate that. I am a driver off the fencer. That's what I do. I drive people off of the fence. Because I'm black and white, I'm cut and dried. And people love that. People love it. Your kids love it. See, I knew I was going to get something about raising your kids in here. They don't want this gray area of understanding. They want clear lines that if they cross this line, there will be discipline. And the lines have to be clear, and you have to follow through with the lines. And you don't say to your kids, well, what do you think is right? No, you tell them what's right because they haven't lived enough to know. They don't know what's right and wrong at an early age. You tell them. They don't know what to believe. You fill their minds with facts concerning God. You don't throw them up to the wind and leave it. Of course, God's in control of it, but you don't throw your hands up and say, I'll just leave it to God. It's a given that God is doing it. Somebody building a house doesn't sit in the midst of the block and the siding and the lumber and say, well, I'm just going to leave this to God. I'm going to leave it up to God and sit there with the chin in the hands waiting for the house to go up. It's not going to happen. This touches again on the relative and the absolute. So we have to be clear. We can't be gray. We can't be wishy-washy. We have to make direct statements, clear statements, and let the chips fall. And don't be a respecter of persons. Like Notes, he kind of went that way with Andrew Jukes. Well, wait a minute, Andrew Jukes. And I'm going to tell you a story tomorrow of what happened to me in 1995 in Melbourne, Florida, and what happened later in Willard, Ohio, that was related. And this will touch on the problem of looking at the person, of being swayed by who this epic person is in your midst, and not being swayed or looking only at the facts, only at the truth. Paul did this with Peter in Antioch. Peter was a hypocrite in Antioch. He was sitting with the nations, fellowshipping with them, and the Greeks were feeling mighty fine because here was the great Peter. He was a celebrity in his day, Peter was. You went up to Peter and asked him for his autograph. You took selfies with the guy. Heads turned when Peter walked down the street. So the nations, the Greeks, they couldn't believe that this epic dude who had walked with Christ, who had the keys to the earthly kingdom, was acknowledging that they had a legitimate call, that they belonged in the family of God, albeit to another evangel. Paul called him out. This is why. They're all sitting there at a picnic table in Antioch, and then some people from Jerusalem came in. See, some influential men from James came in. And Peter, making some kind of excuse, maybe he went up to the food table to get another helping of potato salad. And then he subtly went back to his seat, except he didn't. He went back to another table and distanced himself from the Greeks because he felt pressure from James. There's two lessons here. Peter was influenced by people. He was a respecter of persons. The people moved him more than the truth did. And so he vacillated. He played the hypocrite. And imagine you're a member of the nations. You see this happening and you're going, ah, pff, okay, we knew it. Yeah, okay, we knew it. It's not real. Peter's a fake. Paul sees this happening. He sees the fallen faces of the Greeks to whom he brought the evangel of the grace of God. And Paul stands up. Boy, I would have loved to have been here. I feel like I was there because I've thought of this so much. Paul stands up, takes a spoon, bangs a pan, and says, ho, 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 wait, 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 did everybody see what just happened? Peter's going, what, what? Please, no, Paul, what, what? Peter, no respecter of persons. Peter, what are you doing? Did you see what you just did? Everybody, look what Peter did. My God, you don't call out the man with the keys to the earthly kingdom, Jesus Christ's numero uno. Yes, Paul does, because he has blinders to the person. He's not a respecter of persons, and he's looking only at the truth. Peter played the hypocrite. And because of that, some of the Greeks could have just quit, given up. I know it's not real. There it is. It's not real. Always Israel. Always Israel. Israel first. We're still dogs. We thought maybe we were good when Peter was sitting with us. We felt like $1 million. But now, here come the big shots from Jerusalem. And now Peter sits at another table, trying to get away with it. You don't get away with that with Paul. Not with Paul. Because he's a pain in the ass, this guy. And I love him for that. And I follow in his footsteps. I'm a pain in the ass when it comes to truth. I will call out any teacher if I believe truth is compromised. And it doesn't matter which one. It doesn't matter how epic they are or how respected they are. Because I don't look at that. I'm going to give you a practical example of that tomorrow. Still not getting to the kitties and the wife. But, you know, maybe I'll be able to sneak some of that stuff in there like I did today. Did it a little bit. Did it a little bit. So I'm going to read notes. Next comment on yesterday's video. And when you hear this, you're going to realize that, wow, Notes just laid out a beautiful field of wheat ripe for the picking. And Zender's the reaper. He's going to pick it. He's going to make bread out of it. And he's going to explain this stuff to us. And it's probably going to make sense because the guy makes sense for a living. He's proven that over and over again. All right, well, that's what's going to happen tomorrow. How could you possibly miss it? I don't think you're going to miss it.